vykresná na obchodě. Today is 1st December 2016, so one more month next year. So Christmas will be end of the month. After that, Chinese New Year. So a lot of activity on December and January month before New Year. Then after that, you have a February month where you take a rest. Then March is our retreat very fast. I just finished the program, but I don't know whether there will be any changes or not. I don't know. I will finalize it maybe before the end of December. Then I can send it out. Then we will get ready for our March annual retreat. Okay, who do you call? Yeah, new one. First time, Grace and Lee Hoon's. Oh, okay, yeah. Good, the two of you have the honor to light our puja candle and incense. Okay, the rest of us can stand. Get ready for puja. Use the lighter to light. Yeah. Okay, then we start off the offering with the tray. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Pass on. Yes, pass on. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 Sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated, then relax body and mind, compose your mind. Develop the faith, sadha virya. Then we will commence our Buddha puja. Mindfully, we will do it. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Svakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated, then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We shall commence the official puja chanting. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatthana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the padipa puja, the offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadang sina tilokadipang sambuddhang. Pujayami tamonodang ganda sambarayutena dopenahang sukang hina. Pujaye pujaniyang tang puja baca namotamang. Vanna ganda guno petang etang kesuma santatin. Pujayami monindasa siripada sarorohe. Pujemi butang kesumena nena punena matena ca tumokang pupang milai yati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bawang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will chant the puja inspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering that we had just done. Significance of offering like candlelight and light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of clear water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of this marriage, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer of merit to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Trupa Jamma. Buddhang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you can be seated, then we can continue our meditation, You're off the light, come in here, you can make the offering, you just put it there, then we rejoice, just find a place, Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. For those who are new, you are most welcome. So we really rejoice with your wholesomeness, and we hope you can benefit from whatever sharing that we are having. Okay, immediately after the puja, normally we will have a meditation. It will be half an hour. I will normally give some basic instruction for those who are new or those who still need the instruction. Then those who already know how to meditate, they can straight away proceed. Okay, maybe later on I will explain a little bit of what we do here. Okay, maybe now I explain easier so that you understand. What we are having here is a Thursday class meditation session. The main intent and purpose is to develop wisdom out of this meditation. Some people call it vipassana. Vipassana means the word vi, stand for the three universal characteristics of nature. According to Lord Buddha, all of phenomena in this world, whether physical, mental, or nature's phenomena, they exhibit the three universal characteristics of nature. These three universal characteristics are so important, that's why it has to be insight into and realized by the mind. They are impermanent, leading to suffering when you attach and cling. And because they are impermanent, they are not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. That's why the concept of anatta or non-self nature is very profound in the Buddha's teaching. And because it's anatta, non-self, it is also empty, not what you think. So all this understanding will arise when you meditate appropriately, correctly. So this style of meditation is very easy when you understand. But when you don't understand, it's going to be quite complicated and difficult. So before we start the meditation, I explain a bit, because today there are about three or four new people. You look at the whiteboard. These are the two pairs of mind states that living being can have. According to the Buddha, he said, he who has not trained your mind or developed the meditation, the meditative training, your mind will not have these spiritual faculties. These are the five spiritual faculties that can allow you to understand his spiritual teachings. Chances are you will have the opposite five, which is called mental hindrance. So these are mental states that will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful, from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. And these five are very common in the mind states of living beings who are heedless, according to the Buddha. Heedless means you are not aware, not mindful, you don't understand what is going on. You just hold on to things, cling on to things, react to things. Then you hold on to the thought process, thinking that they are very real. This five mental hindrance, as you can see, the English translation is sensual desire and ill will. These are one pair. So when you live life, every moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste or tactile feel, or bring about a thought process through memory, recalling, or thinking, you will actually react to all this sense experience. Then you will have this duality which the Buddha talked about, whether you like that sense experience or you don't like. If you like, it becomes a sensual desire, where it's from your senses, your five physical senses, and your mind, which is the sixth sendal. When you're attracted, the hindrance of sensual desire arise. When you don't like, you want to push it away, you develop you will or dislike or unpleasant sense experience. So your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, are the mind state that prevents you from becoming peaceful. So if throughout the day you live your life arising all these mental states, you are creating mental hindrance. That's why you are not peaceful. You cannot meditate. So when we understand this, we will develop the opposite five. Then you can become peaceful. Then you can easily meditate. Yeah. And this opposite five can be developed through contemplation, through the puja devotional practices, and also through a system of training. Mainly is the second turning contemplation. When we do the puja offering, then the pre-puja chanting and the post-puja chanting, they will explain to you the significance of all this puja chanting, like just now we went through. We chant the Pali, but you should go back and read the English translation so that you understand. And when you do it with understanding, you will progress very fast. So meditation is the same. If you do it with understanding, you will progress. Then the other mental hindrance is, the third one is, your mind become lethargic, sleepy. They call it sloth and torpor. It's just like when you go to school, you attend a lecture or a class where the subject doesn't interest you, very boring, very dull. What happened to you? You feel very sleepy. So this is the mind state that will arise. So to a lot of new people, even old meditators, if they don't understand this, because they can't see the importance of this meditation, this way of training the mind, mental training, leading to all the benefits, wholesomeness and awakening. But when you don't see the importance, you will not pay attention. Then it's to you like very boring. You are forced to sit in a posture where you don't understand. Then you feel the pain, the numbness. Then you want to move, you cannot move. So all this will create negativity of mind state. Then the thought will project and create a lot of reaction. The fourth one is more pronounced. Restlessness of mind. According to the Buddha, living being has a lot of this problem, this fourth mental hindrance. Why are you not peaceful? Why are you restless? Restless means the mind is not peaceful. You got problem. So when you confront situation that leads to problems, like when you break your precept, violate your precept, or do you do something wrong, like you commit CBT, you cheat people, you deceive people, then you have actually stolen things. Or sometimes you kill or cause harm. Then sometimes you cheat on your spouse. Then you tell lies, you try to deceive people. Then when you partake in toxicant, you get involved with drugs and all those things, you make your consciousness very low, then that will lead to further downfall. And because of that, you break all the other precepts. Then you worry about police coming after you, your enemy coming after you. So you will have problems. Then on top of that, in life, we also have life-related problem, like your financial problem, career problem, relationship problem, and all those things that are related to your loved ones. Sometimes you worry about yourself, getting old, getting sick, and finally about to die. There is fear. Your loved ones too, when they are affected by accident, traumatic diseases, pending death and other things. So that fear, that worry, that anxiety, that attachment, that clinging will make you restless. And this is the one that will prevent you from meditating, because that thought keep on coming back to harass you. That's why a lot of people cannot meditate when they have problems. That's why the Buddha said, if you want to meditate, you must keep your precept so that you reduce this mental hindrance. Otherwise, you cannot meditate. Then the last one is doubt. Doubt means you are not sure. You don't understand his teaching. Then you have a lot of doubt. Means the faith is not there. You have not done the first phase of Dhamma Pariyatti. Means the learning of the teaching. The learning of the doctrine. When you don't understand his teaching, you will have doubt. You're not sure, am I doing it correctly or not? What is all this that people tell me? Is it superstition? Is it right and ritual? But the moment you understand his teaching, all these things that you do, like the puja, the meditation, the dhamma, discussion, sharing, and all those things, they become very meaningful. They stand out clearly. Then you understand why they are so beautiful. They are so meaningful, and they can contribute tremendously to transform you as an individual, personality-wise, character-wise, so that you can become beautiful. You can be a blessing to the world and all of humanity, because it will transform you from heedlessness to heedfulness, from negativity of mind state to wholesomeness of mind state. Then you become very compassionate, very kind, very loving. Then you have a lot of joy, a lot of peacefulness of mind. Your mind state are different. The way you see things are different. All of your envy, jealousy, anger, hatred, fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, deceitfulness, cunningness, they start to fade, they start to disappear. Where you see the danger in holding on to all those negativity of mind state, but they lead to downfall, they lead to evil. They are called the evil roots that make you evil. And when you become evil, you will cause a lot of karmic negativity that will lead to your downfall. Then when the karma take effect or come to fruition, you will suffer. So, having explained to you the first set of mental hindrance, the Buddha said, you don't try to fight this mental hindrance when they arise, even in the meditation. You don't try to control it, suppress it, or push it away, or do something to avoid them. No. You're supposed to understand that these are mental hindrance. That's it. Then you see with a silent mind in meditation how they arise, then how they come to pass. So it's like how the Buddha explained under the teaching, the four foundations of mindfulness. The first category of cultivation is mindfulness of the mental hindrance. So the Buddha said, when you silence your mind, you will come to understand how the unarisen mental hindrance arise, how they come to be, these five. You can see them very clearly. Then when you can see them, if you continue to be patient and just silent, then finally it will cease to be. And then you come to understand how the arisen mental hindrance cease to be. Actually, according to the Buddha, it's very easy. When your five mental faculties or spiritual faculties are there, all these five will cease. But when the five spiritual faculties or mental faculties are not there, the five hindrances will be very, very active and very powerful. So coming to the opposite five spiritual faculty or mental faculty that can make your mind very different, it will allow you to understand the Buddha's teaching, the spiritual teaching. That's why it's called spiritual faculties, special faculties. First is the faith or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching through understanding clearly who the Buddha is. He is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened. That's why we call him a Sammasambuddha, fully enlightened being. And he is perfect in wisdom and virtue. We can say 2,600 years ago when he arrived, he was the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born. So to have such a being to be your teacher is indeed a great blessing. Okay? So you can develop your faith from there. To have such a being to be your teacher, you will have a lot of gratitude and respect towards him. Then when you come to understand how wise and virtuous he is, that's why he can come out with his teaching, which he called the essence of his teaching, the Four Noble Truths, that summarizes to you all of life, both the mundane and supramundane. You will understand completely the secret of life. You will understand life. That's how you will know how to live life. But when you understand the secret of life, you will not fall anymore. You will know how to develop that understanding to help you penetrate the teaching. Then you will not be deluded by what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. Then everything that you come to perceive through the phenomenal world, they will become very different. Yeah. Then when you come to understand that his teaching is so beautiful, can bring about such great benefits, can transform you to become an enlightened being. It can liberate your mind, free you from all suffering or misery or unhappiness. Then it can develop the understanding to be peaceful, silent, aware, happy, full of joy, no more suffering from that moment onward. When you see the possibility of all this, if you really, really understand life and you are serious about life, you will go all out to cultivate this meditation as taught by the Buddha or teaching as taught by him. So this will move you to have the second spiritual faculty, which is called virya. Virya is a spiritual tenacity or zeal to cultivate this teaching because you see the importance of it. You see the great benefits in it. Without this, you will become afflicted. You will suffer. You will become miserable. You will get yourself entangled in life. And you have to confront a lot of reality that you cannot understand, that can lead to a lot of suffering, misery, sorrow, lamentation, intense fear, phobia, and other things. So when these spiritual faculties of virya, or spiritual zeal and tenacity arise, it will drive you to cultivate. That's how you come here to meditate. And then the third spiritual faculty is mindfulness. You cultivate sati, or what they call mindfulness, or awareness of mind, the silent mind. Means you just aware before the knowing. Like when you pay respect to the Buddha, your body and mind move as one without thought. It's just the awareness, the mind that is aware of the movement of your body. Then when you develop the meditation like anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath, if your mind is just aware of this in and out breath, it's not thinking. That is the training of mindfulness. So your mind that is not trained, the untrained mind think a lot, has the hindrance. That's why they need an object of meditation to anchor it, to hold it. That's why they come out in method and technique of meditation. But here I will teach you how to understand all this. Human beings' problem is, before you have the spiritual faculties, you cannot meditate. That's why they need methods and techniques to overcome their problem. Heedless problem means the mind think a lot, become restless, keep on arising the duality of sensual desire and ill will. Then at times feel sleepy, then at times restless, then full of doubt. Because the faith is not there, the understanding is not there. So all this, you will come to understand. So initially, when your spiritual faculty are still not there, but you still want to meditate, then we need to do something. I will teach you a skillful means, which I will explain afterwards. I call it the mind sweeping method, to help you decondition the mental hindrance, the heedless thinking. Then we combine loving kindness to bring about inner peace and inner well-being. Then from there, you can start to train this mind that is already silent to become very stable. So when mindfulness has been developed through this training, and when it stabilizes, not in an energy field or concentration state or condition state, but as a free mind, then it will stabilize and become samadhi. Samadhi means the mind is connected and unwavering, but not in energy field, not focusing, not concentrating, not in absorption. It's a free mind that is just connected and unwavering. That is the meditative mind, the silent mind. So you meditate to develop this sati and samadhi. When sati and samadhi is there, you can see things as they are, where your mind will not be deluded. Your mind will not stir or react to what you see. Then the memory and the conditioning from your brain, they will not come in to interfere with what you see. That's why you can see things as they are. Jnana dasana means direct knowledge and vision of the reality. Yeah. You see things as they are, not according to your conditioned mind that tell you what this thing is. Because through memory, through conditioning, that's how you react, you stir, you perceive with negativity and all those things. But when you have sati and samadhi, your mind unwaver, you can see exactly what that thing is. Then the ability to see things as they are will develop the understanding, which we call wisdom. And this is the fifth spiritual faculty. Okay? So hopefully you can understand. Huh? For those who are new, if you got any doubt later on, you can ask me. Okay, now we off the light, then we can start the meditation. For those who already know how to meditate, you proceed. For those who are still new, I will teach you the skillful means to train your mind. Okay, we will start off with the mind sweeping method, combining with metta. Just relax yourself, body and mind. Yeah? Make sure your backbone is straight. Then just breathe in, breathe out, mindfully. Don't try to do anything, just silence everything. Then maintain attention on your forehead. Huh? Just feel, don't think, feel, feel. You can detect any tightness, any tension, or any stress within your forehead. Just soothingly relax, relax and relax. Feel the whole forehead there, all the muscle, every strand of it is in a state of relax, relax and relax. Then you sweep it down to your eye muscle, do the same, feel. Means maintain attention there, feel, don't think. Huh? Then just relax, relax and relax. Feel your entire ciliary muscle or eye muscle, soothingly relax. Then you sweep it down further to your facial muscle. Each and every strand, feel, relax, feel, relax. Continuously sweep it out. Then to help you further, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. Visualize yourself smiling. When you can smile, there is joy, there is happiness. And naturally, your facial muscle will relax, because when you are happy, when you have joy, when you can radiate the radiant smile, you are peaceful. And that joy will relax your facial muscle. Then to develop the inner well-being, you can recite following what I recite. The recitation of metta or love, starting with yourself. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. As you recite, you must not like the parrot, just parroting. You must feel it with your feeling. When we recite, may I, this body and mind of mine, you feel it, the entire body and the mind. be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel the well-being and happiness within your physical body and mind. Means each and every cells within your physical body, you feel the inner peace, the inner calmness, the well-being and the happiness. Then you can repeat one or two more times. May this body and mind of mine be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being within each and every cells of your entire physical body. And feel the well-being and happiness in all your mind states. Then you can continue to relate. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May its mind state still be without any enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May it always keep itself happy and peaceful, always. May there be love, and may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can continue to radiate this metta to your loved one. May my loved ones, it can be your parents, your brothers and sisters, your good friend, your colleague, or somebody whom you really love and care for. May my loved ones too be well and happy, well and happy. You can visualize your loved one, then radiate this well-being and happiness to them. Then you can also radiate on their behalf. May they too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all too be free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts too. Then we can continue to radiate this metta or love to all beings. May all beings within the vicinity of Subhanjaya, the whole of this Subhang area, and all other beings, known and unknown, seen and unseen within this vicinity, and all fellow Kayanamitas or Dhamma friends who are meditating and cultivating together, may they all too be well, happy and peaceful. Well, happy and peaceful. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without negativity, without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. And may they always keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we extend this metta to all beings within the vicinity of the whole of Selangor State, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, then the whole of Mother Earth, our planet. Then we extend it to all the beings within the solar system, within our galaxy, our Milky Way. Then extending it further to all beings within the entire universe or existence. May they all to be well, happy and peaceful always. May they all to be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May they always have love and peace deep within their heart. Then may they all to be free from all harm and danger, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Then may there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within the hearts of all living beings. Then you come back to your facial muscle. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then we continue the mind sweeping method from the facial muscle. Feel relaxed. Maintain the peacefulness within, the silence within. The inner peace and the inner well-being will become more and more stable, more and more conducive for you to develop the training of the mind to be peaceful, to be aware, to be silent. That is the meditative state. Then you sweep it down to feel the neck relax, then feel the shoulder relax, then feel your hands, both your hands, just relax them. Then come back to shoulder. Then you move it down to your heart area or chest area. And this is a very important location within your physical body. This is where the seat of consciousness is. This is where your heartbeat arises and passes away. This is where your life force, the coming force, arises and passes away. So you just silence everything and just feel. Relax and just feel. You can detect any vibration or your heartbeat. You just silence everything and just stay there, be with it. But if you are new, if you still haven't developed the training and you are incapable of feeling anything, then it's okay. Like how you feel your forehead, you just feel your heart area. Then you try to relax each and every part of it. You feel that there's any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, you just suddenly relax them all. Relax, relax, and relax. Then you sweep it down to your stomach, feel, relax. Then your abdomen, feel, relax. Then your leg, feel, relax. Your buttock, feel, relax. Then you can reverse the whole mind serving method. From the buttock, you feel, you relax. Then the leg, feel, relax. The key is to feel and relax, not to think. This would help you to become peaceful, because when you don't think, you just feel, relax. You will become peaceful, because it will help you to decondition the heedless thinking. It will help you cut off the momentum of thinking. That's why you will become more peaceful, more calm. Then you just sweep it up to your abdomen, feel, relax. Sweep it up further, stomach, feel, relax. Sweep it out further to your heart area, chest area, silence everything and just feel, relax. Then you move it up to your shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder. Then your neck, feel, relax. Then sweep it up to your facial muscle. Feel, relax. Then your eye muscle, do the same, feel, relax. Feel your entire body and mind, soothingly relax. Then your forehead, again, feel, relax. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. If you need to train one more round, you can. It's up to you. But if you're ready, you can try to meditate from now. The first step is always to stabilize that silent mind, the peacefulness of mind, the inner peace leading to the inner calmness, inner awareness within. So to do that, you need an object of meditation for your mind to stay. This object of meditation can be anything that you are familiar with. It's just a skillful means to train the mind, to anchor the mind, so that this silent mind can become stable. Otherwise, without the object of meditation, because you have not trained the spiritual faculty of sati and samadhi, this mind will become very weak. You will get lost in thought very fast, become heedless. Heedlessness means getting lost in thought. Your mind is no longer aware within. When it is without thought, it is just aware, silent. That is the meditative mind. But if you are not trained, you can't do it. That's why now you have to do something. If you don't have any object of meditation, I may suggest you follow the Buddha's advice. Develop mindfulness of the in and out breath. He called it anapanasati. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So this training is to develop mindfulness of the in and out breath. And it's very easy. You just listen. You maintain your attention of your mind in front of your nostril where the breathing goes in and out. Just breathe in, breathe out normally in a relaxed state. Then like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Means the breath and the awareness move as one in perfect harmony and synchrony. Initially, it's like very difficult to do because if you have not trained before, you realize split second the mind wanders off. It's not with the breathing anymore. It's lost in thought, preoccupied with your thinking. That's why you are no longer in a meditative state. You cannot be aware anymore. Don't worry. Be patient. Every time this mind wanders off, just bring it back. Bring your attention back to your nostril, the place where the breathing arises and passes away. Then silence everything and just feel. The moment you detect the breathing, either breathing in or breathing out, just allow the mind to follow without thought. Breathing in, just aware, fully aware. Breathing out, aware. If you are patient, sooner or later, sometime within 5 minutes or 10 minutes, you can become peaceful. The mindfulness will come. Then your mind can settle down. When it is mindful without thought, it will settle down and become very peaceful. We call it piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness, a type of spiritual joy that arises when there is no more thought. There is only this spiritual joy, peacefulness of mind. Sometimes it can be so nice or so beautiful. They call it spiritual rupture, your mind like rupture into joy, happiness. Especially the first time you get it, you feel very good and you like to meditate. Then the key to progress is continue to relax into it and just allow it to be. Don't attach to it, don't cling to it, don't hold to it. Just allow it to be. Maintain the mindfulness and relax into every mind state that arises. Don't try to know. Just do. Okay, I'll let you develop this training. Then after that, I will ring the bell after about 10 to 15 minutes. Okay. Then as you relax, for those who are already more advanced, this PT will transform further into a more refined mind state, which they call Sukha. Sukha is spiritual blissfulness. It's not only pity, it will become very blissful. Like there's a lot of bliss within your mind state. So calm, so blissful. Then you continue to relax further. This blissfulness also will transform until it becomes so quiet, so still. The mind becomes tranquil. Tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. The essence of mind, the silent mind. That is the meditative state. The Buddha called it pasati. And that is the mind that can meditate. So our training is to just to develop until pasati. Until the mind is in sati. Okay, now I will let you meditate. Then I will set the alarm. Then after that I will ring the bell. But also still, once you continue with the meditation, you can, for those who had had enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. Because these are the mind state that you need to use to develop the meditation in daily life. Not until you can be peaceful in the midst of life, you have not really started the real meditation. The form of meditation most of the time is to train this mindfulness until it's very stable. The spiritual faculty. Then if you are in a retreat, you can also do the bowing, contemplation, walking, sitting, stretching, or whatever. We call it the daily mindfulness. Mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action or movement in the present moment. That is sati sampajana, which is part of the four foundations of mindfulness, and that practice or cultivation is the most important. Okay, now we will continue with the chanting. Turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. I will read the English translation. In this universe, in the entirety, let the devas or deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta
Chakravalesu
Atra
Gacchantu
Devata
Sadamman
Munira Iti
Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sayapatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Samicipatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Yadidam Chattari Purisayokkhani Atta Purisa Pukala Esa Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakkineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Jam, right? Buddhang Pujayami Dhammang Pujayami Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. Relax yourself, maintain some more attention, attentiveness. Then we will continue with the second session. Second session is reporting of meditation, followed by whatever question you have. So we call it the Q&A session. You can ask whatever question related to meditation or the teaching, or to clarify anything that you are not sure or not able to understand. Then lastly, of course, is how you can apply what you have learned here to help you understand life and overcome all of your situation or problem in life so that you can be free of all the so-called human problems or mental problems that living beings encounter as you go through life. Okay, you got any question or want to report your meditation, you can just raise your hand, then we will pass you the mic. So now we open it up for all. Just pass the mic to Grace Sadhu. Where's the mic? At the back. No, for the recording, Grace. Otherwise, we can hear you, but the recorder cannot pick you up, your voice. Push up, just push it. Then you speak onto the speaker. Yes.
Can we practice this meditation at home?
Can, no problem.
Anytime?
Anytime.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. So, this question is related to whether you can do it at home or not, isn't it?
Yes, Brother Joe, question.
Yes,
during the silence and the meditation, my mind drifted away.
No problem. Initially, it's like that. So you just have to understand the untrained mind thinks a lot, heedless, evil, one dissolve. So it is normal. Understand? So you don't have to force yourself to arise the mental hindrance. Mental hindrance, what? You are not happy with your meditation. You say, I'm here to meditate, supposed to be peaceful, now this mind wander off. Then mental hindrance arise. So when there is either happiness or unhappiness, they are both hindrance. always remember that. Then they will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. Do you understand this statement? You sure? Huh? Yeah. How do they hinder you? You try to answer, huh? Means, when you are doing either the sensual desire or the ill will, you are no longer paying attention, understand? Huh? Where you are preoccupied with that sense experience, like when you are very calm, very peaceful, you actually unknowingly attach to that state. And because when you attach, you feel good. So you are lost in that sensual desire of good meditative mind state, which is a good thing. Understand? Huh? But to develop wisdom, it may not be a good thing. Understand? Because most people come for meditation is to try to become peaceful, try to become calm. Because we understand in this world, the society of ours, which is so hectic, everything is moving at such a great pace. And humanity, like, always on the move. So much thing to attend to. So to have a moment of peace in life is so difficult. Sometimes they cannot even sleep. They got insomnia. So they come for meditation is because they want to have this peacefulness. It will come, this peacefulness, as a byproduct of meditation. But we are here to develop wisdom. So our sole intent and purpose is not just to be calm and peaceful. So when they arise, the Buddha say, be watchful. If you attach and cling, then when you cannot get that type of peacefulness or calmness that you used to have, then your mind not happy. Understand? Then just like your case is the same, when you realize your mind wanders off very fast after it becomes quiet for a while, then you cannot maintain. So the craving, the desire to maintain that mind state is a craving where you want that peaceful state. So meditation is to go beyond that, where there is the thought, having desire, having craving to do something. So you just tell yourself, don't have to be too hard on yourself, because the untrained mind is heedless. It thinks a lot. It arises a hindrance. So there is a slight aversion or dislike, because like you say, it wanders off, it's not peaceful. Then you can recall my instruction. You can expect this mind to wander off many, many times because you have not trained. So when it wanders off, don't worry. Don't become unhappy. Don't react. Don't stir your mind. Just acknowledge it, at peace with it, and tell yourself, the untrained mind is heedless. It thinks a lot. It will do that. And when the mental hindrance is there, it hinders your mind from becoming peaceful. That's why you cannot become peaceful. So what happens is, when either sensual desire, good mind state, or bad negative mind state arise, like restlessness, thinking, and all those things, you have to understand that these are hindrances. It will prevent you from becoming peaceful. It will hinder you from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So what must you do? You have to understand that you cannot fight this hindrance. You cannot control, suppress, or do anything to it, because they are just the way they are. When conditions are there, it's like that. When the mind don't understand, it will attach. So what is happening is, I'll just off it first, otherwise there is a distortion. So what is happening is, let's say, good mind state, peacefulness. When you are preoccupied with that peacefulness, what happens? You are lost in that mental state, that calmness. Then you are no longer aware. A more obvious way of explaining is when you are lost in thought, the mind becomes restless, start to think again. Means you are preoccupied with the thinking. When the mind is preoccupied with the thinking, it cannot be aware. It cannot be with the moment in silent awareness. So now you understand. Yeah? So that's why it hinders your mind from becoming peaceful. Because when it's preoccupied with the thinking, the mind will actually become heedless. It thinks a lot. Then as it thinks, it will react to what it thinks. I'm here to meditate to become peaceful. Now it wanders off. What am I doing? So that thought keep on creating mental hindrance. But when you understand, you just acknowledge it. We are untrained. It's not that. So what I need to do is, I have to come back to the breathing. Then I start again. Develop mindfulness. As long as I train to develop mindfulness, the mind will become peaceful, mindful again. The moment it doesn't run, it's just like you train how to cook or how to become skillful in whatever games or activity that you are doing. Once you become skillful, what happens? You become very graceful. Your movement is like without thought. You don't have to think. You can just do it. You can just execute it very skillfully. And that is because you are trained. So meditation is the same. When you are trained until the mind is in steady on its own, automatic, then when people ask you how you cook, cook lah, just cook. So how come you can be mindful throughout the day? Yeah, just be mindful and you will be mindful. If you are, they have trained, understand? If they are not trained, they cannot cook so gracefully, understand? Even like badminton. Badminton is a very good example of table tennis. When you have trained, you become skillful. What happened? The shuttlecock, you can send it to wherever you want it. Correct or not? You want to serve low, it serve low. You want to serve high, it serve high, baseline. Then you want to return to baseline, you will go to baseline. You want to smash, you smash. You want to drop, you drop. Means you have full control. Means you are skillful. You already trained. The mind that is trained is the same. Means what? I want this mind to be peaceful. It will be peaceful. Not until you can do that, you have not started the mental training. The spiritual faculty is still not there. If you want the mind to be silent and aware, it will just be silent and aware. It means you have the spiritual faculty already, sati. Then you want it to be continued to silent and become samadhi, it will just do that. Then you continue to relax, aware. That mind that is in sati and samadhi will meditate and you will see things as they are. You will understand many, many things. So now you understand. So this type of meditation, you don't have to be in the meditation center or in a place where you meditate. This is like a gym, more conducive, understand? When you train yourself, means you want to build up your muscle and all those things, the gym is conducive. Why? All the gym equipments are there, understand? Then everybody is training, no disturbance, nothing. Then you got coach to coach you. Then you can even ask for advice and help and other things. So in a form of meditation, it's the same. Normally there is a teacher or somebody to guide you. So here it's like in the gym where you train. But after you train in the gym, you don't stay in the gym, understand? You stay in the gym for a while. After you train already, you come out, understand? You live your life, you go for work. Then you do your whatever exercise outside because you have really trained. Then when you train to become skillful in any games or activity that you want to be skillful at, then you can go for competition or friendly matches and other things. So Dhamma is in a way similar. After you are trained, you become skillful, you come out to test yourself. You can actually go for what they call competition or whatever. Means you, among Dhamma friends, you discuss, then you exchange understanding, then you share your experience. Then from there, you develop understanding faster. Because if you don't interact with people who are skillful, who are good, or who are better than you, you cannot learn. You will stagnate at your level. Understand? So when you come out and interact, then you realize there are a lot more other people who are better than you and more skillful than you. That's why you can learn from them. But when you become very skillful and very good, then you realize most people, they are not at your level. That's why they cannot understand like you understand. And then, if you are in that situation, then you can teach, you can share. You can impart all this skill and understanding. So meditation, in a way, is quite similar, except it's in the spiritual field. It's not about practice alone. It's not about the thought alone. You see, the word practice is repetitive. This word practice. That's why I prefer the word cultivation. Cultivation. Cultivation is not repetitive, not rigid. It's not a method or a technique. Whereas practice is repeating, understand? Repetitive. That's why I practice how to cycle or ride a bicycle. I practice how to play badminton. I always do that, understand? I practice how to cook. So that is practice. I practice to be a very, very good player. Then I become world champion. So that one needs repetitive practice. But when it comes to meditation, it's not only practice. Practice is just the initial training of the mind. Initial training. That one, you need to practice. You train the mundane mind, and there's an initial training of mind. That one you can practice. But when it comes to meditation, it's cultivation. Meditation. Why? Because meditation is not about practice anymore. Not about doing. It's about developing the wisdom. It's about awakening. So this one is wisdom-based. To develop the wisdom. It's no longer a practice. That's why vipassana got two words. This is the meditation, vipassana meditation. So we is the, like I explained just now, the three universal characteristics. Characteristics of nature. Characteristics of nature. So this one, as you all know, is impermanent. Or anicchang dukkhang and anatta. Anicchang, dukkha, and sorry. And anatta. Means impermanent, suffering state, non-self or empty nature. Then this vipassana is to insight into So this one, when you insight into the three characteristics of nature, then you become enlightened, you awaken to it. Then you understand clearly that all of phenomena, they exhibit this universal characteristic. And this will liberate the mind and bring about wisdom. So when you insight into the universal characteristic, it brings about wisdom. And this is panya. This one will free your mind. But when you practice and practice and practice, you will not change. You become more skillful. Understand? Very graceful. Everything you can do very well. But this is only the initial training. The first part. Then when you are able to have this mind that is ever mindful, then it is very easy to meditate. But you must understand that this is just a preliminary initial training to train the mind to be heedful, to be mindful. Then the moment you are heedful and mindful, you can meditate very easily. That's why the Buddha said, the heedful never die. When you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. So this so-called practice or training of the mind, the initial skillful mind, it's just to develop the meditative mind. And the real meditation is a cultivation where you need to cultivate this understanding through the daily mindfulness, through seeing yourself in real life, in the midst of activity. See how your mind stir and get entangled and become afflicted. Sometimes there is fear. Sometimes there is sorrow, lamentation, agitation, insecurity, So all this you can see exactly as per the Buddha's teaching, how when you deludedly grasp and cling and hold and attach to things, you become afflicted. So meditation is about training this mind to be mindful, to be observant, to be aware of your internal mind processes, to see the dependent origination, to see the evil roots that are responsible for all the evil action, evil speech, and evil thought process. Then to see all these mental states so that you understand which are the sets of mental states that bring about downfall, the hindrance that will make you heedless, deluded. It will cause you to entangle yourself and develop all the suffering. That's why this one leads to suffering. This one leads to wisdom, understanding, liberation of mind, peacefulness, happiness, joy. Then this one leads you to understand life. Then life becomes meaningful, beautiful. Then you can learn to understand life and live life to the fullest. Then you can experience all the wonders and beauties of life. This is possible. But when you are heedless, when you don't train your mind, don't take care of your mind, don't develop the spiritual faculty, then this hindrance will lead to downfall, lead to negativity of mental states. It make you evil, make you deluded, make you attached, cling, grasped, afflicted, suffer, miserable. So all of your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your phobia, your depression, your suffering comes from this hindrance born of delusion. So meditation actually is about life itself. That's why here is just to train. After that, when you are skillful, you go into life. Like after the gym, you go into life. You go for actual workout, actual practice in the game, in the court. Then you polish up. Then when you meet very skillful opponent, you know you still need to train some more. You still need to strengthen your weaknesses. Meditation is the same. When you have this mind that is trained, then you start to see your own defilement. Then you start to see how those defilements are so powerful. How they come back through the back door. How they can still deceive you and make you afflicted. Then you have to train yourself, contemplate, reflect, develop the higher wisdom. Then you have to diligently meditate to insight into phenomena so that you understand this characteristic very clearly. Then when you see them, you straight away can apply what the Buddha taught you. Sabbe sankhara anicchang, sabbe sankhara dukkhang. All of sankhara, mental activity, mental thinking, mental states, mental construct, mental formation, they are impermanent, leading to suffering. And because they are impermanent, they are not a permanent unchanging entity. They are not real, not me. The egoic mind is not you. That feeling that arises and passes away is not you. That perception, the mental state, the consciousness, they are all not you. You have to insight into that. Then when they arise and try to deceive you at the moment of sense experience, they cannot arise because you already contemplate until very clear. You already insight and develop this understanding. That's why you chant, Rupang Anicchang, Rupang Anatta. The moment you chant with understanding and penetrative insight means every moment of sense experience, whatever external form, you can see the impermanent. You can see the non-self, empty nature. That's why you will not get attached. You will not be deceived. You will not be deluded by it. That's how you cultivate. Without that stability or understanding, you cannot cope with defilement. Defilement are very powerful. Just like in whatever game, like badminton or when they are really at international level, world champion state, you know your opponent, everyone is very good, understand? So defilement is the same. When you are very near to enlightenment, I tell you, not easy to break through. Because you have to face the strongest of defilement. Your own ego. Your own accumulated, what they call, self-delusion. Your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your rites and ritual, everything that you hold on. All this you have to dismantle. All this you have to understand until it cannot hold, so that it will collapse. That's why you remember, for those who have followed me in the early years. First, I teach you how to develop the meditative mind, the silent mind, to see clearly. The first aggregate is form. Form, F-O-R-M. Physical form and external form. You have to learn to see form. Then learn to see the unreality of form. Based its impermanent characteristics. How, when you attach and cling to external form, can be your loved one, your property, or whatever, it will lead to suffering. Then, because form is dependent on originating, condition arising, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity. It cannot be owned, cannot be possessed, you cannot hold on to it. That's why it's impermanent, leading to empty nature or anatta nature. You have to see all this clearly. Then only you can see beyond form. Then the whole phenomenal world, the phenomenal of external form, loses its power over you. Then you realize all this form arise because of mind. That's why you return all of external form to the mind, the mundane mind, the conditioned arising mind. Then from there you return to the silent mind, through awareness. Then you realize this is all dependent on originating creation. This is how we come. And then this is how it sits. Then when you have that understanding, everything becomes very clear. The Dhamma becomes very clear. Sabbe sankara anicchang. That straight away, sankara anicchang, finish. Sankara dukkang, you lead to suffering. You will not think anymore. Then sankara anatta, non-self, empty. Then everything becomes very clear. That's how the awakening become very different. That's why that mind is so penetrated. It's no longer like what people say, let go, practice, let go. No such thing. Without wisdom, you cannot let go. Then thought-based meditation is the worst. They try to rationalize. No, I must not cling, I must not attach, I must learn to see things as they are. All these are knowledge concepts. You cannot break free. Then you try to see things as they are. I tell you, you really gone. You lost until you don't know where you are. That is as bad as it can be. Seeing things as they are is the silent mind that awakens to it. It's not through thought, not through Dhamma, not through knowledge. That's why you don't try to know when you meditate. You remember I put here? Don't try to know. Develop awareness. Just maintain the awareness. Then relax into every mind state that arises. Don't try to know. The understanding will come. The silent mind will awaken. It will see clearly. That's why you have to be very patient. You have to be very mindful. Then finally, to trust your nature. There is no more thought involved. So this is the four. These are the four important supports for awareness-based meditation. This is how you develop wisdom. Then the moment you develop wisdom, you will know how to live life. That's why you act. Eh? You act according to wisdom or understanding. And this is true action. Otherwise, you will act according to memory, which is not acting at all. Memory is the accumulation of all your experience in life. True or not? Eh? Good and bad. So when you accumulate them, like the Mahayana say, you hold them in your memory. That's why accumulation is the cause of suffering. What is accumulation? Attachment. Where you hold on to it. You worry about it. And what other thing you hold on to it? Your scars of memory. your fear, your phobia, your insecurity, your craving, your lust, your desires, all this you hold. That's why I send out the Jai Krishnamurti code. You better learn how to understand that. Yeah, that is very penetrative. That is what the Buddha's teaching is all about. Accumulation is attachment, clinging, grasping, holding to memory. That's why psychological memory that are detrimental to your what they call life, you don't accumulate, you don't hold. That's why your mind, which is your thought, is a tool, T-O-O-L, for you to make use of, to live life. So use it appropriately. So this mind, which is a tool, like the Buddha said, you use it to arise what? Yeah? And this tool is a thought, isn't it? The Buddha, under Noble Eightfold Path, what did he taught you? Huh? You have to use this mind to arise the right thought through right view. Right thought via right view. That's why it's all about right thought via right view. This is how you cultivate. And right thought are thought that brings about love, compassion, harmony, respect, contentment, virtue, goodness, kindness, lead to harmony, gentleness, pleasantness, goodness. These are all right thoughts. But what is wrong thought? What is wrong thought? Your psychological fear, your psychological misery, suffering, depression, your selfishness, your craving, your desire, all the evil roots are wrong thought. That's a thought that conditions your fear. Thought that brings about disharmony, conflict, dispute, war, argument. They are all wrong thought. That's why under Sabbasava Sutta, things that are unfit for attention, don't pay attention, because they are defilements. They are all wrong thought. Wrong thought born of wrong view, self-delusion. Don't have the right view with regards to law of karma. You become egoic, stubborn. You don't believe in this law. You are selfish. You have emotional negativity, craving. Then you have fear. You worry a lot. You have a lot of mental hindrance. That's why these are all wrong thoughts. So when you use your memory wrongly, you accumulate all of the psychological hurts and fear, scars of memory, your phobia, your anxiety, your worry, your sorrow, lamentation, and misery. Why do you accumulate them? Why do you hold on to them through your thought and attach? And thought is respond to memory. That's why from there spring forth. Like Krishnamurti said, you make them alive again. And that's why not. You resurrected them from the dead. And the moment you recall or recollect, you have fear, you have worry, because your phobia, your scars of memory, your hurt, your emotion and all those things, your anxiety, your depression. So all this is going to torment you and make you miserable. That's why thought is for you to use for learning, to recall all the wholesome things, to develop the Noble Eightfold Path factors, so that you know how to live life, so that you act according to Noble Eightfold Path, which is true action. And what is Noble Eightfold Path? Incapable of negativity, incapable of delusion. The Noble Eightfold Path means first path factor, you have wisdom, right view, no delusion, no wrong view. Right view in regards to the law of karma, the law of mind, how you function as a human being, dependent origination, that dwelling, the law of karma. Then the third one is Dhamma Niyama, right view in regards to all the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught. So when you have that, then you know how to avoid evil, do good, and purify the mind from these three right view. That's why you will have right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then the four right effort to continuously abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and then prevent them from arising. Then the right effort to cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood that are still not in you. That's why you have to reflect, contemplate, understand the essential Dhamma, and do all this cultivation. Then only you have the embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path. Then only you know how to act. Otherwise you cannot. You will act according to memory. And this is all your conditioning, your views, your opinion, your phobia, your fear. There's an acting out of fear, acting out of your selfishness, acting out of your greed, your emotional negativity, insecurity. That is not acting at all, but these are all evil root. That's why you must act according to understanding, wisdom. Then there is no more fear. Understand? That there is no more negativity of perceiving people as what they are. Where you cannot see them as they are. You always use your conditioning to perceive them. Well, this guy last night cheat me, last night deceived me, last night do this to me, I have to be careful. So this is acting according to memory, the way you perceive him. But he's just the way he is, understand? Deluded people do deluded things, foolish people do foolish things, angry people do angry things. Violent people do violent things. Selfish people do selfish. So he's just the way he is. So you can accept him for what he is. You at peace. Then there is clarity of mind. There is no negativity. No mental hindrance. That's how you can have the inner peace, inner calmness, and the clarity to see clearly. Then you can act. When you act according to wisdom, like Sabbasavak Sutta say, things that you need to endure, you endure. Restrain, you restrain. Things that you need to avoid, you avoid. And all this is very clear. Then things that you have to reflect, contemplate, and develop the wisdom, you do it. And this is what meditation is all about. It's not about sitting and walking in the retreat. Nothing to do with that. That one is just the initial training of the mind. And you cannot understand that you think that is meditation, you become gullible. That's why no amount of sitting can free you. It's all about contemplative wisdom leading to the turning, which is the awakening. You have to insight into phenomena. You have to see yourself clearly and straighten your view and root out your defilement through wisdom. Nothing can free you except wisdom. Not all the fantastic meditation, the fantastic mind state, the jhana, the concentration, the absorption, they are of no use. Because they suppress the anusaya or latent tendency, it cannot liberate the mind. Okay? Can follow? Yeah. Now I read the Krishnamurti quote. It will help you. Below is a very beautiful and meaningful J. Krishnamurti quote for sharing by all. It is really profound. And please contemplate into it to get its very deep meaning. Just as explained by the Buddha, the cause of suffering is due to your craving born of your egoic mind, arising via memories. And what is memory? All of your accumulation of experiences, good and bad. That's why I put there mental accumulation or self-delusion, sakkayadhiti. Reason why the Mahayana always say the second noble truth is the cause of suffering is accumulation via memories. When you accumulate means you hold, you remember them, you attach, you cling. Like I explained last time, you remember? Now we are in the computer age. you must act like a computer. You know, computer got no feeling in there. You know why? Why are they no feeling and emotion? Because they don't have a mundane mind like yours, so deluded. Understand? They very wise. Random access memory. When they need the memory, they go and take. Understand? Well, I need to calculate. I need to use them. You go and accumulate all the scars of memory, the phobia. Even if you don't need it will lead you to suffering. You also go and retrieve it. You know why you do that? No? Because you're happy your tendency. You every time think of all those things that are fearful, understand? That worries you. That's why we used to say, you hold the key to your own life destiny. To be happy or to be miserable is entirely your life, your choice. Understand? So choose to be happy. But why are you not happy? Why is the world full of misery, full of suffering? Why are you not happy and peaceful? Because you hold on to a lot of things that affect your life, understand? You always say, what? This is my problem, no. How can I live with this problem? I already explained it. Problem is everywhere. You think you are the only one with the problem. The Buddha said, first noble truth, reality is applicable to all. All of humanity have to confront them. But when you confront them without wisdom, you suffer. Those who have wisdom need not suffer. So the explanation is very clear and very easy. I keep this on first. You see, human beings' problem is, like I always explain, you go into life, you always encounter this thing. Agree or not? Problems. To the enlightened one, there is no such thing as problem. Can you agree? Cannot. How can you agree? Where got no problem in this world? And I say you can. Provided you have the understanding. How? When you do this, you got no problem. Do not perceive. Anything with this one must use red color, otherwise you cannot remember. Otherwise, all blue color. Sorry. When you don't perceive anything with negativity, what happened to your mind? Your mind will not be fearful, correct or not? If you perceive things with negativity, there is fear, there is worry, there is anxiety, there is sorrow, there is lamentation. That's why your mind becomes restless, just now the mental hindrance. Why must you perceive things with negativity? Even when things go wrong, terribly wrong, let's say, your girlfriend leave you, your spouse break up with you, your career fall, your friend cheat you, your closest one also turn away from you. So what you do? You become miserable. You perceive everything as negative. Then what you do? Might as well die. That is a famous verse. That's why depression a lot. Understand now? Human being enter depression. But why can't you tell yourself, if I don't have this problem, I will not really become serious about life. I will not look at life. I will not check what happened. Like the Buddha said, it's you, nobody else. Because we say, according to the Buddha, we are all five daily contemplation, the last one. We are all born of our karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. The Buddha make it so clear. How can you blame people for what happened? So all these things that happen, like the Buddha said, there are causes and conditions behind. That's why you must understand the law of karma. You reap what you sow. you cheat people, deceive people, and do all these funny things to people, when the fruition of that negative karma come, people will cheat you, deceive you, and cause you all the misery and the suffering. That's why thing is just the way it is. So what have you got to do is to understand this. If I don't perceive things with negativity, then I reflect and contemplate and ask myself, if there is such thing as law of karma, then it's fair, isn't it? What I do to people, now I get back. Because last time I don't understand this law. I don't believe this law. Now I see very clearly. So what must you do? You have to repent, correct or not? Ask for forgiveness. Then vow not to repeat all this so that in future your karma will not be negative. And from now onward, follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good and purify. And this is how you act. Then you tell yourself, if I don't perceive it with negativity, I perceive it instead with wholesomeness. What happened? Yeah. If I perceive it with wholesomeness, it become? It become a blessing. It correct or not? Why is it a blessing in disguise? If I don't go through all this suffering, I will still be deluded. I will still continue in my life thinking that I have done nothing wrong. But the moment you understand this, then you tell yourself, luckily I got into all this. That's why now I look at it, I understand, I search for truth. Then I encounter the Dhamma. Without suffering, without all this, I won't look for Dhamma. I won't cultivate, I won't become serious. So it becomes a blessing in disguise. That's why there is no more problem. Then problem is like a blessing to you. But human beings' problem, the real problem is where they perceive everything with negativity. So this problem becomes real. Actually, according to the Buddha, it's not real, but it becomes real. Why? Because of attachment, clinging. They hold on to it. So when you hold on to the problem, when you hold on to or attach to your problem, what happens? Or attach onto your so-called problem. What happened? You suffer. You become miserable. You suffer and become afflicted. Suffer and become afflicted or miserable. How to spell? Or E-R? Miserable, huh? Maybe write it properly, huh? Miserable. And this one, you understand it. When you hold on to your problem, what happened? Because you attach, you cling. You have fear, understand? Why? You project your thought, understand? Like health problem, or die already. Doctor say I got cancer. Third stage, fourth stage. What am I going to do? What happened in my family come to know? My employer come to know. I will lose my job. Actually, all this is not a reality yet. But the thought project and make you so fearful, so miserable. And the medical fee is going to be very high. Then what happened? It's going to be very painful. It's going to be very miserable. Why me? How come so young already? Who say all this? Your thought. And the Buddha said, this is the reality. Not only you afflicted, every living being who are heedless, don't take care of their life. When you confront this reality, like old age, sickness and death, you will be afflicted. Because you neglect your body, you abuse your body, you don't take care of your body. You go and drink, smoke, drunk yourself late night, not enough rest, stress yourself out, develop all the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the attachment, the sorrow and the lamentation. You actually use your own thought to harm yourself, hurt yourself and make yourself miserable. You never seldom have right thought, like love, metta, like what we did just now, to bring about inner peace, inner well-being, and all the positive metta energy. Instead, you think negatively, wrongly, until all the fear, worry, anxiety, the negative energy feel come out. Then what happened? It will lower your immune system. That's why you get cancer and all those things. And to reverse this, you need right thought, loving kindness, metta, stillness energy, meditative energy. You must have faith, the spiritual faculty to reverse all this. But you don't have the teaching, you don't understand. Even a lot of Buddhists has the teaching, they don't understand. They don't know what to do. So what they do? They cling, they hold on to this problem. And this is like a red hot iron ball. Red hot. Ting lah, huh? Ting is better lah, no need iron ball. Huh? So what happens when you hold? When you hold, it will burn you and torment you. Burn and torment you. So how can you solve your problem? Understand? Because you say, this is my problem. I have to worry about it. I have to resolve it. Resolve it is correct, not wrong. But you don't hold it and become fearful and miserable, then how are you going to resolve it? What you need to do is, you need to acknowledge this. Acknowledge and accept. Acknowledge and accept. Means what? Means, like the Buddha said, this is the first noble truth reality. Understand not? It is a reality. Getting sick, getting old and die one day is a reality of this form. It goes the way of nature. If I don't take care, it's like that. If the mind is not trained, it becomes heedless. So this is a reality. Happen already. Like car accident. Happen already. What must you do? You somehow want to argue and blame your wife for it. You someone want to say, stupid fellow, when I drive, don't call me, or don't shout, or don't tell me anything. You still want to blame. Because it's your own heedlessness. Understand that? So no amount of all this can reverse the thing. Because the reality happened already. Like somebody, your loved one, very close to you, died already. The reality is, he or she is already dead and gone. If you refuse to accept this reality, you will go into depression. You will become miserable. But the moment you wake up, you don't hold, you understand, you have to move on. They also don't want you to be like that. If they can hear you and see you. This is how you understand. So when you accept and acknowledge and accept, then this one becomes no more a problem. This one becomes a reality. You transform this to be a reality. Reality means it not only happened to you, it happened to all mankind, all of humanity. And then if it's a reality, then I ask myself, the one who suffers is deluded. The one who can accept this and understand it clearly can move on. He don't have to suffer. Because I'm not holding. If I'm not holding this red hot thing, which I call problem, which I perceive in negativity, then it will not burn me and torment me. So when I am not burned or tormented, means I don't have fear, I don't project, I don't worry. I accept this reality. What happened? I am at peace. Correct or not? I have clarity. Then I ask myself, what is my option? What can I do to move? If I need to ask for forgiveness, I ask for forgiveness. I need to repent, I repent. Then from now onward, I'm going to do everything to reverse all this. Like the negative thought that bring about the lowering of your immune system, the negative energy. Now I reverse it through loving kindness, through metta, through Noble Eightfold Path, through right view. That's why you act according to Noble Eightfold Path of wisdom. Then you will be free. Then you speak nicely, right speech, right action, right thought. Then right livelihood, the way you live your life is all very wholesome. Then continuous right effort to purify your wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, means abandon them, prevent them from arising. Then train yourself with the right effort to arise or the right thought. Then you learn how to use your thought appropriately. Then you look at memory like the computer. There is a type of ROM they call read-only memory, understand that? So read-only, don't attach, don't cling, understand that? Read and use. RAM is random access. Need to access, only recall. Then it won't torment you, understand that? But you recall, then cling and worry. That's how you suffer, become problem. And this is become real. It was never real. It's all in your thought. Delusion. Now you understand? That's why don't hold, don't cling, don't accumulate. Got 10 more minutes, hopefully I can finish the Krishnamurti code. But if I don't explain this, you cannot understand this code. Now this is clear or not? Yeah. Okay, now I read on. J. Krishnamurti's code. Thought revives the dead past. By thinking about the pleasure which I had yesterday. So Krishnamurti here used pleasure. I have to add in another one. Pleasure and your misery. And your phobia, your fear, and all those things, negativity. By thinking about the pleasure or your misery, your phobia, and all those things which you had yesterday, the pleasure or the phobia or the misery which is dead, long dead and gone, which is only a memory. Now I am giving that dead memory a new lease of life. You understand not? You recall the ugly past, the scars of memory, your fear, your phobia, your worry, your depressive thought. Now they call it OCD. What is OCD? Obsessive and compulsive disorder. They call it a disorder, you know. Because this thought is so obsessive and so compulsive, it keep on intruding. That's why it's an OCD. So Krishnamurti said, please watch this in yourself. Thought is reviving the dead past, the dead pleasure or misery or suffering, the dead memories. And from that very dead memory, thought has become powerful. Thought has come into being. This is what is going on all your life. You understand that or not? That is the one that make you miserable. That's why accumulation through memory is grasping, clinging, suffering. Now you can see. Then Krishnamurti continued. So thought not only breed this contradiction in our life. You know what is contradiction or not? You contradict yourself, understand? You want to be happy. You don't want to be miserable. But everything you do is so heedless that makes you miserable. Because you go and recall all these memories. These are all wrong thoughts. Thought they are unfit for attention according to the Buddha, Sapa Asava Sutta. You're supposed to recall the teaching, the Four Noble Truths. These are conducive for right thought and wholesome thought to develop wisdom. But you are not doing that. You say, I want to be happy, I want to be peaceful. But everything you do is heedlessness leading to suffering and misery. That's why You want to be happy. You hold the key to your own life destiny, but you cannot be happy because you are deluded. You don't have right view. You don't have wisdom. That's why without right view, without wisdom, you can never arise right thought. Thought depends on the user. The user of thought is evil or deluded. Thought will be deluded and evil. Like money. If the user of money is deluded, thought becomes evil. But if the user of money is wholesome, righteous, generous, thought becomes wholesome. Sorry, money becomes wholesome. So thought is the same. So when you understand this, you will know what to do, and you will not be deluded by it. So thought not only breeds this contradiction in our life, as pleasure, as fear, as suffering, as misery, but also thought has accumulated the memories of the innumerable suffering, misery, and pleasure which we had had. And from this memory, thought is reborn. For thought is respond to memories. Without memories, which is accumulation, there is no thought. Hence, no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no projection, and no craving. And this is so beautiful, isn't it? And this is what sati is all about. Wisdom is all about. The teaching is all about. That's why this quote is very beautiful. When you can understand, I tell you, you can awaken. You will not be deceived by thought anymore. You will not cling, you will not hold, because all this no meaning. Past already gone. Future yet to come. The reality is the here and the now. That's why you must develop this mindfulness to be with the moment. In full awareness, to have clarity, to experience life, to live life, to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life, not to go and worry about life, understand, and become miserable over life. What are you doing? If this also you cannot understand, then forget about meditation. That's why you have to reflect and contemplate until this one becomes very clear. Then when you meditate, with understanding, you will penetrate very fast. You will transform very fast when you understand all this. Then when you are silent, you see how the mind do all these things to you. Then when you understand yourself, self-knowledge lead to wisdom to understand others. Then you know why the world is what it is today, with so much suffering, misery, and negativity. Oh, very good, huh? Still got 8 minutes. So you got any more questions? Yeah, you should rejoice, actually. Tonight's talk is very, very different, very beautiful. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Why you all sadhu also so paisei, so slow and so low-key? Ayo, I already told you last time when I was going through my cultivation, my teacher, Ajahn, he know, is it? Relative of his first to rejoice, very loud. There is this joy when you hear Dhamma, you should have this mudita, rejoicing, ability to rejoice in wholesomeness, in goodness. Then your heart will open up. You paise, all your thought actually subducing you from becoming happy and opening up your heart. That's why forget about the thought. Be brave. Confront the world with understanding, with awareness, with heedfulness, with mindfulness. Because the thought is egoic, not real. It's not you. Who paisei? The thought paisei, not you. And your nature is so beautiful. When you understand, all this cease to be. That's why I dare to do things that are opposite of what the world do. Ever since I came to this world, this form and mind, I realized almost everything I did was opposite. Even when I married my wife, what she liked to eat, I don't like to eat one. Very strange. But yet we become very, very compatible because of the past. It doesn't mean that what I like, she don't like, and what she like, I don't like, we cannot live in harmony. So we have to respect them for what they are, because we are not alone in this world. There is this what they call give and take. We have to understand there are times where they need to have their own life and space. We have to respect them. So likewise, when you respect them, they respect you. That's why there is this mutual respect leading to harmony. Otherwise, your conflict, argument, is like the world upside down. Or every day also go there when you eat what you want only. You never think of me. Or then there is an anger, you will understand. That's why food also want to argue. If you don't like, you eat yours and she eat hers. But you can accompany her and have a good meal. What's wrong? Things that I don't like to eat, I have to learn to eat. But she know, if I don't like it, a soft one, she won't give to me. Yes, she know I don't like. But things that she know I like, she will purposely wait for me to come back and ask me to try. That's why this is love. This is understanding. It's not about trying to be right, arguing with each other. What for? There are so much things to life, understand? That can make you happy, peaceful. And life is really, really beautiful and meaningful. Instead of every day worry about life, complaining about life, attached to this, attached to this. Not only about yourself, no. Worry about your children. Then later, worse still, grandchildren also go and worry. What happened if I die already? My grandchildren cannot survive. Oh, I must put money in their account. Such thing. What the hell is going on? It's crazy. Take care of your life. Be happy. Then you will know how to take care of others. If you yourself also cannot take care of yourself, you want to take care of others. Like my wife tell my daughter, that's the best. She want to rear hamster when she was young. She say, kaki to ku mto kaki, want to ku hamster. Understand? You yourself also don't know how to take care of yourself. You want to take care of others. Because curiosity, understand? Grasping God, I must also have. Then, initially, first 1 month, I'm very happy to play with it. Then later on, clean the sheet. All this, don't want really. And then give away. Understand? You have to maintain. You have to bathe them, clean them. So whatever it is in life, is for you to develop the understanding. If you are not selfish, then you can do what you want to do in life. That's why your life will become meaningful, beautiful, peaceful. There's a lot of peacefulness, a lot of wholesomeness when you train your mind, when you have the number, when you have the understanding. Life becomes so different. Okay? Two or three more. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Louder. So now you got 2 more minutes or 3 more minutes. What do you want to ask? Is it clear now? I hope it will be clearer and clearer. You listen to this one many times, and somebody do a transcript is the best, I tell you. It is going to help a lot of living beings. Yeah, this is the penetrative one. It so happened the condition came when I saw the Jai Krishnamurti code. I know you, most of you are ready and you can understand. That's why I sent out, and tonight is a perfect condition to actually explain this. That's why last Thursday, you asked Sian, I purposely rub and clean off everything. I even bought the special cleaner to clean. Then today, the whiteboard was empty. See, you must have space. Your brain also same, no? If there is no space, all muddle up inside there. What happened? You know what happened when your mind is without space? Without space means what? Inside there not Dhamma, no? Your memory, no? Your accumulated fear, phobia, all those things, your pantang, your right and richer. This one my mother say cannot do. This one got ghost one. So how? You cannot move, understand? All your conditioning, your views, your opinion, your religious belief and all those things, your right and ritual, your culture, your pantang, everything. No, my mother said cannot. Why you do this? You even scold your husband. The altar cannot touch. Walk into the hall, the house, cannot step on that door, what they call, mun kwang. You won't believe all those. Then,
Feng Shui Lord told me, you cannot shift the cupboard. The Buddha already told you only karma decide. You go and believe all this right and ritual. That's why your mind cluttered with all the wrong view, the experiences, the accumulated experiences of wrong view leading to all the right and ritual, the phobia, everything. It will kill you. It will make you miserable. And when you act according to this, you will become deluded, truly deluded. But there is no space, no clarity, no awareness. All this, like the computer, where you have a brain, understand? So it's in the memory. Don't retrieve it when you don't need it. The reality is that this moment, here and now. Why do I have to recall? Because this is a habitual tendency. And most of the time, people want to recall their happy moment. Especially when you fantasize last time when I was with my girlfriend and all those things. That is because you got no problem. Everything goes maybe quite smoothly. Then you japabo mingya jo. Go and recall all this. They call what? Sweet nothing. Recall this. Attached. Then next time, become angry. You know last time, when we were courting, you told me all this. Now, you become like that. Oh. You recall the past and hit out at her. Then you recall all the words that she said. You last time also same. You also told me like that. And now what? Argument. But you don't have love. Your memory is to be right, counter, attack. That mode is crazy. The habitual tendency, the delusion, and you never see. This is how you harm people, hurt people, and that constitutes karma. When you come back, you will have a spouse that will hit back at you and do all those things to you. Because you lack love. Understand? Then you don't blame why my husband like that, so aggressive. Last time your husband aggressive until your wife also don't know where to hide. You never ask why I like that. But when you become the victim, you complain. How can he suddenly say want to divorce me? But last time when you did to other people, you never reflect on all this. That's why there is such thing as karma. Yan go. Yao yan jiao yao go. Zhong yin jie go. Zhong san yin jie san go. Jing zhong er yin jie er go. Zhong shen qian wan yao xiao xing. Bu yao zhong chuo yin jie chuo go. Xianhua always repeat this one. So that you wake up. Don't treat it as a joke because it's very serious. That's why when you understand all this, you are incapable of negativity. That is how you transform. Otherwise, you don't stand a chance, I tell you. If you are not dead serious about this cultivation, you don't stand a chance. Like I tell you, the defilement become more and more powerful as you go towards the very far end before you awaken. It's just like you want to become world champion, liberation. You have to fight in the international tournament. And all these finalists that went in on, they are all world-class players. Everyone got their strong point. If you are not all-rounder, perfect in every aspect, you cannot cope. You will lose. The defilement will beat you. That's why you must have penetrative insight, wisdom, and understanding until they have got no power over you. Then only you can liberate. You want to ask something,
No, I was just thinking that if there are people who perceive things in a negative way.
Yeah, a lot.
And how do we
Who want to answer that? They are just the way they are, understand? You cannot do anything unless there is condition. If they are willing to listen, if there is condition, then you can do something. If their karmic obstruction is so strong, they are not even capable of listening, what can you do? And the other thing you have to ask is, are you capable of sharing all this to him? If you are capable, then you can give it a try. But if you yourself are incapable, you cannot share with him, because he will not understand you. Understand?
The thing that you share is meaningful.
Not only meaningful.
I
is very, very, very penetrative. Not only real. I have helped many people come out of depression, some 20 over years. Yeah, you can repeat your question.
This is the nature of my job, is that I talk to students and...
Counseling.
And you're saying about the perfection. And the thing that the younger generation that I'm having now is that they are working towards that line.
Okay.
But their perfectionist is very different from what we are looking at.
Yeah.
For them, it's I got to get an A, I got to be good at this, I got to be good at that. But in the midst of chasing after this, they go crazy. They go crazy.
Because that is the ideal that they have been conditioned to believe.
Correct. Yes or not. And the current education system does not help. Whereas I compete against you, and
yeah.
And there's no good value system.
Yeah, you know how to help these people or not.
Whether I can help, I'm learning, I'm listening and I see
what I teach you one way, which is a very good way. I told my children the same. Do your best. Because it's your life, understand or not? It's for yourself. You're doing it for yourself, not for me. I may be your teacher. Understand?
Yep.
So tell them your life. Whether you become successful or not, depend on you. If you work towards it as a teacher, as your career guidance, I can assure you, there are many students that came out, excel and become beautiful. But it's not academic alone. It's your leadership quality. Your ability to have this understanding of the law of karma, or if it's other race, other religion, you cannot use that. You must understand the nature's law that governs life and existence. If you do good, begets good. Do evil, begets evil. Then, be sincere. Be honest. Don't try to do things the shortcut way. It will not help you. It will make you worse. Work towards it. Develop the understanding that when you understand, strive on with heedfulness to become successful. In this world, it's very easy to be successful. I tell you. Because there is so much opportunity. But human beings don't understand. Their minds are so clouded, so deluded. They don't have understanding. But to be successful is very easy. A lot easier than learning the teaching. You only have to work very hard. Strive on with diligence. And sometimes you're lucky, you got opportunity, you know how to make use of it. Then you just come out. Because our society is very different from the past. Opportunity is everywhere. A lot of greenfield technology and all those things. And people can become very successful overnight. And opportunity is everywhere. You only need to look for it. Have this contact. Get to know the successful people, talk to them, get their advice, work towards it. It's not that difficult. Okay? Wow, Jasmine. Happy until like that. Very good, Sadhu. I rejoice. Yeah. Tonight morning is very important, very beautiful. Yeah. Okay, we better end, otherwise you all will be here until 11 p.m. Okay, we continue some other time. Let's do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits, then we end. Sharing of merits with the devas. Aka sata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu loka sasana Ita wata caamehi sampadan punya sampadan Sabe dewa anumodantu Sabe sampati sidiya Idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontunya tayo Idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontunya tayo Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo Ipmina punyang kamena Mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu
Yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully the Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones. Then we end.
If you don't know the direction, to get the map,
the list,
the coordinate.